Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
There's a White House briefing going on. I'm telling you, Trump sends Sean Spicer out there to do these elongated briefings because I think it makes him feel uncomfortable. I think that's what happens. And they're also doing that. And today there's Skype reporters on, out there. So I guess we're going to be able to answer questions. I mean, ask questions. It's hilarious. But he just looks so uncomfortable. Like his suits, he's not fat, but his suits don't fit right. Like they're just a little tight. Like he's put on 5 pounds. And he's kind of sweating and the lights aren't on yet. And it's cold in here. And he looks uncomfortable still. And he looks like he's going to come over the podium sometimes. Like he's just going to go after you. Like, so don't ask that question. Whatever you do, don't ask Sean about that. And don't ask him about why he swallows 3 packs of gum a day. Just let's let it go. Let it go. How you doing, everybody? Happy hump day. Wednesday. It is the Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day today. Neil Gorsuch was named the Gorsuch. I don't know. What is it? Producer Phil, is it Gorsuch or Gorsuch?
I would go with Gorsuch.
That's what I'm going to go with. He was named the replacement nominee for Antonin Scalia last night. It's quite a show Trump put on. Trump put on a show. It was a show. It's we're show busy. I'm waiting for him to have streamers and the cannons that fire stuff in the air and t-shirts. He's going to shoot t-shirts into the crowd. And he likes a show. He made it a show yesterday.
See, this is why I think he should have done exactly what LeBron James did. It could have been an hour-long special called The Decision.
It would have been great. And he could have raised money and they could have given it to the Boys and Girls Club or, knowing him, he'd have given it to the NAACP or to the, something that would have just pissed people off because, oh, he's trying to do the right thing. Ah. But he turns these things into a show. He understands the world that we live in a lot better than I think people realize. He gets this reality TV thing. We're all obsessed with, I was talking to somebody last night about drama, right? In our lives, we hate drama, but we all love drama in other people's lives, right? If it's not our drama, it's entertainment. If it's our drama, it pisses us off. But if it's somebody else's drama, well, we like it. He gets that. He gets the drama and he gets the flair and he gets the all of that stuff. I thought he was going to come out last night, and I'm waiting for him to have tearaway sweats and, and now here he comes. He's 6'2" from Wharton Business School. Donald J. Trump, your starting president. Would have been great. They had to play jock jams. It would. It is. It's becoming that movie, Idiocracy. He is Mountain Dew Alonzo, whatever his name was.
Dwayne Elizondo Hector Mountain Dew Camacho.
That's it. That's who our president's going to be. It is. It was great, Living in America. He could have been rocking out. Oh, the liberals are apoplectic as usual. Everybody's upset. What side of the aisle you're on? I'm mad at you. Why? Because you got a D by your name, you jerk. We're going to fight? Yeah, of course I do. About what? I don't know. You got a D by your name. Oh, you got an R by your name. I don't like you. You're a jerk. Nobody knows. We are a fly-by-night nation. Our politics, the way we consume news. People get mad off a headline. I'm mad. Did you see that headline? Would you read the story? Well, no. I just saw the headline, so I'm angry. The headline said this. It would have been good last night, though, if he'd have done that. It was come on out, just laser beams everywhere. Michael Buffer up there, something like that, talking about it. Him high-fiving. Cheerleaders. I'm waiting for the cheerleaders. I'm waiting for Trump to go, we've added White House cheerleaders. Trump can't do it. No one can. He's our man. He's our man. Oh, my God. Go Gorsuch. So we'll see what happens with him. It's a like-for-like trade. Doesn't change anything in the way that the politically sided politics are done on the the court there. You've got 5 people that are pointing to the left. You got 4 people now pointing to the right instead of 5-3. And It's not going to change anything. So before you, you know, you go jump out a window and think that tomorrow your choice is going to be taken away, that or the environment is going to somehow cease to exist because these people are going to roll everything back. One of the things that I did like about Gorsuch being appointed is he said something about, and I'm paraphrasing here, about liberals in one of his writings. I think it was an op-ed piece or something he did where he pointed out to, stop using the courts as your voice. Get people on your side. Get bills passed. Get laws made. Stop using the court as your voice because they have now used that as the de facto for everything, for laws. So stop using it. And I like that. I like that. He's an old constitutionalist guy. He looks at the Constitution and says, that's not the Constitution. That it's not. Nah, no, we're not following it. It's not good. I'm ruling against it. So it's got to be in the Constitution. It's got to be in the Constitution. We've got polls up at Chad Benson Show talking about Gorsuch and the Super Bowl. We'll get to that one next. Judge Gorsuch, what do you think of him being Trump's pick for SCOTUS? 69% of America says great pick. 6% says horrible for America. 25% only time will tell, which I think is what it is, right? It's only time will tell. And then which of these would you like to win? This is fun. Super Bowl is this Sunday. Let's be real. Most of us care more about the Super Bowl than we care about who any of these picks are. Super Bowl is Sunday. 88% of the people said Super Bowl. 13% say the Oscars. Zero still for the Grammys. Zero for the... And I know, Phil, you want Grammy love.
I wouldn't mind it.
It would be great. It would be great. Because, you know, we could probably get a Grammy for spoken word, right? Don't they have a spoken word Grammy? I think so. That'd be good. I can win that. I wouldn't say no to that. I have a friend who's got an Emmy, and he keeps it literally as a doorstop. He had to buy it, too. He had to buy it. You don't get it for free. It's like they come out and they hand you this little award, and then, you know, especially if you're a star that's bought and paid for, they'll go to the studio. But if you're a behind-the-scenes person, you have to buy it. You have to pay for your own Oscar and Emmy. It's like they take it right back from you when you get off stage. Give me that. You don't get that. Who do you think you are? I'd go up there and grab the girl. Do I get her? Because this would be way better. Oh, Chad, you're horrible. I'm not horrible. Let's all relax a little bit. We can laugh. I was talking to somebody last night. I'm working out at the gym, and people always find the most inopportune times to have a chat with you. And they say, he says, hey, I've listened to your show and stuff. And I'm like, oh, thanks very much. I appreciate that. We were sitting there chatting, and I asked him, can I ask you a question? I said, how much do you really care about politics? And he says, you know, I follow it, but he goes, I follow it sporadically. There's a month I'll go where I'll dig into politics and it'll be interesting. And then I'll go 3 or 4 months because I have a life to live. And I'm like, yeah. And that's the way I look at it. It's like most of us have lives to live. We got things to do that's not just about politics. I don't think people get that. I think everybody thinks that everybody's just hyper focused on politics. It's what I do, and I do love politics, but you know, I cover the big things, but I deal more with issues in life because I think that's where we are, right? I mean, I think over the last, I don't know, what, 10 years, 8 years, the way that, you know, radio, especially in my business, has shaped itself. And I'm getting ready to do a panel and like a conference and give a speech in about a month or so for a big convention for talk radio people and radio people. And you know, and I just did an article for a radio magazine. And I tell everybody, they're like, well, you know, what do you think about politics? You know, what do you think about talk radio under Trump? And I'm just like, it's radio, right? Like, you know, all these people that are so sold for one side or another who don't want to give you the truth and the craziness that they're willing to go to try to defend somebody. I don't buy into it. I said, why? You know, they're so hyper partisan as well. And a lot of times it does cross that line of hate at times and just disdain and anger. And it's like, I don't buy into it, man. I got other stuff to do. I talk about things that matter to people. What matters to you? What matters to me? I got a 6.5-year-old. I know what matters to me. Absolutely. Ninja Turtles matter. School matters. Where are we going to go this weekend, Daddy? What fun thing do you have planned for us? That matters. Dad, can I get a an extra scoop of ice cream? Things like that matter. Dad, I'm going to play basketball. All right, great. Things like that matter in everyday life. It's not the it's not all that they think it is. That's why Trump won. He gets it. He gets a lot of that stuff. Even being a billionaire, he gets a lot of that. We'll see. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. It's funny because I'll talk about my colleagues or whatever they are, you know, the other spokes holes that are out there doing. I don't take myself super serious. Like, you'll learn that on the show. I take myself, I'm not curing cancer. We're not putting a man on the moon. Nobody's dying today because, well, although I think I killed the guy from Asia, but that wasn't my fault. I mean, let's have fun. That's the way I look at it. Let's talk about stuff that matters in life. But take what I say with some infotainment and a grain of salt, and always make up your own mind in life. The partisan craziness of it all, where people will jump on you because you're not towing some sort of party line. I don't work for either party, nor would I want to at this point in time. They're childish. Speaking of childish, parents and their phones. New study out about parents and their phones and why we use social media so much. It's a bit of an eye-opener, and it's kind of sad. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
What is up, party people? Happy Wednesday. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. Black History Month. I always try to spread the love. I like talking about stuff that's interesting. And I said, you know what, for Black History Month, every day I'm going to go out there, I'm going to talk about somebody who made a difference and you never hear about. Because whenever you talk about Black History Month, it's always like, what? It's Malcolm X or it's Martin Luther King. And there were like so many other people out there. Sarah Breedlove, you don't know who she is? She's born in 1867. She died in 1919. Known as Madam C.J. Walker, she was the first African-American woman to be a millionaire. That's right. The first woman. She made her fortune by developing and marketing a line of beauty and hair care products for black women through Madam C.J. Walker's manufacturing company. She started losing her hair. She came up with this way to help grow her hair out, and she started selling it. And she was this amazing woman when it came to marketing. And think about somebody who started out as Sarah Breedlove, became Madam C.J. Walker, and made $1 million, and what that was like back in the day. Little things like that, kids, little knowledge in your brain, it goes a long way. Social media is making us antisocial, according to a new study. And this study, I believe more so, these kind of studies, I think, more so than, say, for instance, like when you do health studies, because those things are, everybody's different. Your genetic makeup's different. What you eat during the day, where you live, how you live your life, the stress you're under at work, etc. Those things are hard because they're not controlled. This is a little bit different because we all are on the internet at some point in time. And while it may fluctuate in how maybe we're already depressed sometimes. Maybe we're naturally a happy person. It's not as controlled, but I get more out of these kind of things than I do, say, the physical activity or diets or any of that stuff. Because, those things are so, you're taking such a tiny sample. But what they're saying is that the more that we're on social media, the less we are with interacting as human beings one-to-one, we're truly becoming more antisocial. Research has found that about one-third of people communicate less with their parents because of social media, 31%, partners, 23%, children, 33%, and friends, 33%, because all they have to do is just follow them online. So why would I want to talk to you when I can see everything you're doing? But here's some of the interesting stuff that I found to be kind of, I always thought it was true. As we are more connected, we are less apart. That's the way it was supposed to be. But we're actually more connected and we're further apart. The whole thought process of, we can all be connected together sounds great, but the truth is that's the only connection we have anymore. 61% of participants felt worse after finding someone unfriended them. 59% were said to have been upset when somebody posted a negative or critical comment on their profile. 57% say after going on social media, they felt they had that someone they follow has a better life than they do. That's a lot of what it is. You used to be keeping up with your Joneses who live next door. Now it's keeping up with the Joneses who are on your Facebook, your Instagram, your Twitter, whatever it is. 59% said they felt sad after seeing photos from a party they didn't attend. 58% said they were angered by a photo of a friend posted of them online because they didn't want that picture made public. 42%. Now, this is where you're getting real. Said they were jealous when they saw a friend had more likes or comments than they did on a certain status upset. That, an update on a status. That right there, it's the likes thing. And we've talked about the fact that in other studies, they show that when you get a lot of likes, your dopamine goes up. And because of that, there's something good about it, but there's also something bad about it. You become addicted to getting likes. One of the things they said on here said 24% of men say they worry if they don't get a few likes, their friends will think that they're unpopular compared to 1 in 6 for women. But they say to get more likes, 32% of men said they post something funny about a friend compared to 21%. And they're also willing to go a lot further to try to get people to like their post. Social media, it's addictive. It's scary. It's crazy. Unintended consequences. And we've all done it. We've all seen people on there, and we've seen our exes on there. We've seen whatever it is, and we get jealous. And that's human nature, right? That's human nature. But long gone are the days where we invite you over to look at our slideshow. Our slideshow is going to be being updated throughout the day. And now you're jealous because you're sitting in an office and you're struggling and you're lonely and you don't have anybody. And there's your friend and he or she's married and they're on a great vacation. And it's tough. It's tough out there. But it's just social media. Get on with your life. Get outside. Go outside. It's beautiful. Sunshine. Gorgeous. Say hi to people. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. Text the program 323-538-2423. Very touching letter by a girl to her drug-addicted parents. The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Happy, happy, happy Wednesday. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. It is the Chad Benson Show. Life is experiences. I think we have sheltered our kids nowadays, especially from too many experiences in our lives. We are doing a disservice to children because we are giving them zero tools to deal with situations that they'll deal with in the real world, and we won't be there to take care of them. And I think it's not good parenting. It's not. Schools are as guilty as anything else. This politically correct world is as guilty as anything else in taking away, taking away hurt, taking away pain. We all want to shelter our kids, right? Like, nobody wants to see your kid get hurt, right? Like, you love your child. That's your flesh and blood. That is the child that, you know, this little human being that's going to grow into be a man or woman. These are our children, and we want to make sure that we protect our children, right, from all the bad things in the world. But bad things in the world now are everything. Bad things in the world now are, it's language and it's words that we don't quite understand, or it's words that we think are oppressive or micro oppressive and micro aggression. You know, kid doesn't get something right at school, you're going to go fight the battle at school. Something happened to your child at school. Rather than letting them figure it out, the school gets involved. Next thing you know, your kid's suspended because, you know, he's 6 and a half or he's 10 and he's playing cowboys and Indians. And that's not right because you should be playing Native Americans. And it's silly, right? We're having this. The fact that we have to have these conversations all the time about just some of the most inane things when you see stories out there that have nothing to do with real life. And we know what real life's like, right? You know what real life's like. Real life is not all bowls of cherries and Captain Crunch and unicorns and happiness. Life is tough. Life is, I think Dennis Miller put it great. Life is a giant dodgeball game, and every once in a while, a ball hits you in the nuts. That's what life is a lot like. And you want to shelter your kids from, you know, shield them from bad things. We've got to get past it. Life is not a bowl of cherries. Life can be tough at times. And we're sending our children out into the world ill-prepared because of our parenting to deal with day-to-day things that come in front of them. Because we've given them a trophy. We have told them that their artwork's amazing. And we put it on the refrigerator when the truth is they didn't deserve a trophy and their painting sucked. So we've given this false bravado that is built on, it's like Jenga. It's all built on stilts and it, at any time it could topple. This young girl named Chelsea Cameron wrote an op-ed letter, and it was an open letter. She put it in, it got picked up everywhere. And she wanted to thank her parents for being addicts. That's right. She wanted to thank her parents for being drug addicts. She's 18. She's from Dundee, which is in Scotland. She said because of the fact that her parents were addicts, it caused her to be more independent, ambitious, and to stay clear of drugs. In one striking message, she says, "Parents, both of you, thank you for teaching me that taking drugs ruins life, breaks family apart, and gives no one quality of life worth living. I'll be eternally grateful for this lesson you've taught me, which is a message which has stuck by me until this day and always will. I have never and will never have a desire to take the harmful substances through your example." I read this and it hit me like a bag of bricks. My father was a massive drug addict, died at age 36 when I was 16 years old. My mother was a severe alcoholic, lived life by the seat of my pants. My sister went down a different path than me. I'm 46 years old. I've never tasted alcohol in my life. Wouldn't know what it tastes like. I've never had a smoke in my life. I've never done a drug in my life. I don't even like taking aspirin. She's learned a lesson and taken it to heart of the destruction that comes with this kind of stuff. But what it did do is it caused her to be independent and ambitious. We have so many kids out there nowadays who've got every opportunity in life. But the truth is, life is still going to throw you curveballs. No matter how many great opportunities you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter how smart you are, or the advantages you have, life is going to throw you curveballs. And kids nowadays are ill-prepared to deal with those. And that's on us. We were talking about this before the show. And I said, if you look at the way that we look at post-traumatic stress disorder nowadays, right? Kids having to see psychologists because they got a B in a class or a C in a class. And you look at all of these things. You just sit there and you shake your head. And you're like, wow. And some of that's on us and our parenting and the world that we lived in because we've sheltered them and we've given them the trophies. We've done all those things. But it's very eye-opening. When you go back and you look at the greatest generation, and case in point, you look at the greatest generation and you look at the way that these youngsters who became men by the time they were 16, 17, 18, fighting in wars. I had a friend named Sammy Davis Jr. That's his real name. Pardon me. He faked his signature, begged his mom and dad at age 16 to let him go join the Navy so he could fight in the South Pacific. And he stormed Tarawa at 17 years old. 17 years old. That was a guy who, he understood pain. He understood sadness. His parents had, and they came from a tougher time through the Great Depression and whatnot. And look at the way they were parented. The way that they parented isn't the way we do it now because we think we have the answer because we can, we can read books and we can do studies and we can do all these kind of things. But yet, look at how ill-prepared our kids are nowadays to deal with any kind of situation that they deem to be detrimental to themselves. You have kids who, I joke about the snowflake generation, but you literally have kids who are in colleges nationwide that have to have safe spaces. Think about that for a second. You have a 17-year-old kid who is storming the beaches of Normandy or Tarawa, who's on a submarine somewhere fighting in the South Pacific. And you've got kids who are afraid because Donald Trump's name was written in chalk somewhere and they feel that they've been assaulted or microaggressed in some way, shape, or form. We have to change everything about ourselves. And you look at the kids that came out of that generation after the greatest generation. Right? You look at them and how they were raised, even. I mean, think about this for a second. We talk about John McCain. Think about what he went through. Hanoi Hilton. Think about all of those guys that were in there. What we've done over the last two decades is we've allowed people to get rid of personal responsibility and blame others for situations. I grew up in a horrific situation that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. We'll get into that one day. Drugs and alcohol abuse, all of those things. But through that, it made me who I was and it strengthened me. And some people will break and some people will fall. It's life is not all this amazing thing. We'd like to think it is. But kids nowadays aren't set up to even handle trials and tribulations that are just what we would consider minor. We've got thought police everywhere. We've got people who are searching and scrambling for safe spaces. And yet you still see that there's 18, 19-year-old kids who are joining the Navy and the Armed Forces across the board, the Marines and the Army and Air Force, and they're going over and fighting. I'm thinking, do you have any, you know, I mean, you're going over there and you're spending time in places that are just horrific, and you're willing to risk that. Yet a good majority of kids nowadays, they just, you know, it's post-traumatic stress for something. We used to have an attitude here in America, I think, where you got hit, you fell down, you got up, you dusted yourself off, and you moved on with life. Nowadays, you get hit, you get diagnosed with something, you got to see a psychologist and a psychiatrist, you got to go to a counselor, there needs to be a safe space. And now you've got a permanent letter on getting rid of personal responsibility forever. And I thought this letter that she wrote was amazing. I thought it was heartfelt. And I thought it was very real. And it hit me because I thank God every day because my dad used to say, if you ever live your life like this, if I ever die, I will come back and I will get you. I will get you. And it was the greatest life lesson ever. And we've taken a lot of life lessons, not lessons that are this big and nasty and bad, but we've taken a lot of other life lessons away from our kids, and we've not allowed them to grow because we're so terrified. And that's sad. And I think we can do better. And as parents, we need to do better because it makes for a better America if we have kids who are able to actually deal with things. Hey, hiring. It's what you need to do. You need a J-O-B? Guess what? There's a place you can go sign up. You're looking for somebody. There's a place you can go and sign up. It's called ZipRecruiter. Finding employees is tough. Talk to small business owners. Talk to big business owners. Talk to corporations. Finding the right employee is absolutely one of the toughest things to do. I've talked to people say, look, getting customers is not hard. Finding people to work here and who are willing to do something, that's hard. I talked to a gentleman yesterday. He's a friend of mine. He's got a roofing company. He says he's so busy, he can hire 15 or 20 people right now. He'll pay them anywhere between 18 and 25 bucks an hour. He can't get anybody. And I told him, this is what you need to do, man. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on a place where it's going to hit all of the top job sites. Now you can. ZipRecruiter.com. You're going to get 200 plus job sites with a single click, including things like, I don't know, Facebook and Twitter. That's pretty big. Find candidates from any city or industry nationwide. Just post once. Watch your qualified candidates. Roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. And this is big. You're busy. You have a small business. You're a hiring manager. You don't want to sift through all this stuff. You don't have to worry about juggling emails or calls to your office. You're going to quickly screen the candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small businesses and medium-sized businesses nationwide. Right now, my listeners of the Chad Benson Show, you can post your job on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time, post your job for free. The listeners of the Chad Benson Show, go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. Tell them Chad sent you. Let's wrap it up. Come back. It's the Chad Benson Show.
My ankle, he needs some petting and loving on time. Hey, kitty, won't you come inside?
Kitty, I'm a foot and I won't touch it. Kitty, I'm a foot and I...
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Researchers, two psychologists and a composer, who apparently got a grant and really loved their research and their interest in cats, embarked on a mission to create a music that was designed specifically for the domestic cat's enjoyment. In a study published last month in the Journal for Applied Animal Behavior Science, researchers write their hypothesis, in order for music to be effective with other species, it must be in frequency range with a similar tempo to those used in natural communications by each species. They did a song for cats. We're going to play you some of that song. It may make you purr, and we're going to play it right meow. Here we go.
Well, you never seen a cat with so much charisma. Got more moves than a mutant ninja.
Turtle, that is.
And I'm doing a scat strut. The hell with John Travolta and the disco duck. They call me Scat Cat, the dance floor maniac. A move of my hip is like an aphrodisiac. Swinging, just doing my own thing. Girls, don't jump me, give me room to get funky. Step to the dance floor, bust a little spin. Shut up, kid.
Oh, my goodness. That right there was horrible. Apparently, they like The Cure, though. Cats like The Cure. And they like Paula Abdul's Scat Cat.
That's MC Scat Cat to you.
MC Scat, right. Master of Ceremonies. Meow, 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 meow. I remember that. Could you imagine that's your job? What do you do? Oh, I'm a scientist, super researcher guy. Oh, you're finding a cure for cancer? No, I'm trying to put together the best hit a cat will ever have as far as listening. And we've got some great people working on it. It's fantastic. We got top men on it. Top men. It is so insane. Again, that's why when people say, we don't have enough money, we have enough money. Cats don't need their own music. And if they want their own music, they can learn to play an instrument. Right? What happened? Well, my cat decided he was going to play his own. He's great at the piano. That's why we have tunes, right? Keyboard cat. He plays his own instrument. Goodness me. Once again, there's always enough money. Mystery of height has been revealed, according to scientists. A single gene can add up to an inch to a person's height, explaining why some people are well over 6 foot while others are much shorter. Scientists have discovered a dozen of rare mutations that decide how tall we are, shedding light on why humans are so different from one another. The breakthrough could also lead to treatments in growth disorders, as well as the host of other conditions, including heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. So, producer Phil, here's the question. If I told you today that you could be 3 inches taller or have the perfect body that you want, what are you choosing?
I'm going to take the perfect body.
Yeah. Now, is there a point where it's like, okay, you know what? You're 5'10", 5'9". I could live with this in the perfect body. I could live with that. But I think if you're 5'4", would you say, you know, and I say you could be 5'10", or have the perfect body, you think if you're a guy, you're going to go, I'll be 5'10"?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if you're short and, you know, not vertically challenged, whatever politically correct thing that's out there, if you would probably pick that over the perfect body, right? I think. Same thing for women.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Now, I am, that's why I tell people all the time, I am not 30 pounds overweight. I am just too short for my weight. And eventually, I will get there. If I was 3 inches taller, I'd be perfect. Like, what do you think the perfect height is? Probably 6 foot, 5'11"?
Well, yeah. Anything taller than me.
So, I think anything, like, I would not want to be 7 foot. I would, there's nothing at 6'8". I don't want that, there's nothing about that that interests me. I would not want to be that. 6'2", 6'1", I could see that. But, like, you get up there to 6'4", 6'5", that just seems like, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. I would not want to do that. Uh-uh. Senate has just confirmed Rex Tillerson is going to become the Secretary of State. Breaking news as it happens right here. So Rex Tillerson is the Secretary of State. I think they're trying to jam through a lot of these things. Look for that to happen over the next 24 hours. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can text the program always, 323-538-2423. Sorry to get to a bunch of your text messages today. We'll do that for sure tomorrow. You could also email the show, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Once again, Rex Tillerson is Secretary of State. He's just been nominated. Keep it here for all the latest information and everything else. This is Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.